Well, welcome back to Gray Area. My name is Sierra, and today we have AJ Christoud joining us. He is a skillful producer, a master on the decks, and now a successful label owner, too. So we're really excited to have you here, AJ. Thank you so much. So first thing, I want to talk a little bit about your kind of entry into music when you were younger. I know that you had your very first residency when you were 17, which is super young. So yeah. You obviously were already really into music before that. So kind of how did you get your introduction into dance music?
It was actually an accident, to be honest. It wasn't. So when I was growing up, I listened to like hip hop, and I even went through like a rock phase as well. But then when we started college, one of my friends kind of, we basically went to school together, and then we ended up going to two separate colleges, and he hung around with a group of friends that were going raving, and I'd never like heard of like raving before ever. So he was like, oh, you've got to come to this club, it was called Sankey's. And I was just like, oh, I'm not really into that kind of thing. And anyway, he managed to get me there, and it was like an electro night. Boys Noize was playing, if you've ever heard of him. And I absolutely hated it, and I left early. I was like, I'm never going back there again. But then he managed to convince me to go again. It was a Zoo Project, if you remember that party. And he was like, oh, everyone dresses up like animals, it's really fun, the music's different. So I went again. That time it was like house music, and I just fell in love with it. So that was like my first introduction to like electronic music, really. And then after that, I just kind of like kept going to this club called Sankey's every week, like literally every week, like religiously. I would go to Sankey's, and I wouldn't even check what, because I didn't really know the DJs or anything like that. I would just go and trust that it was going to be a good night. Fridays was like electro, and Saturdays was house. So yeah, I kept going, and that kind of like led me up to how I started DJing, because I started going so much, I started actually selling tickets for the club. Because I was in college, it was like dead easy for me to, you know, sell a load of tickets and get myself free entry. So I started doing that. And then from there, I kind of bought my first pair of decks and started practicing DJing.
You just ended up playing the club that you were going to forever. That had to be, I don't know, really wild feeling.
Well, there was a DJ, a resident DJ there called Joseph K. And he basically would always open like the main room. He was a really nice guy. He was an amazing warm-up DJ, and I used to send him my mixes, because I used to record them on my laptop, and he played one in the Sankey's office one time, and they were like, oh, let's give him a shot. So they put me on in the bar. That's where you started out in Sankey's. It was like this little bar, but it was a good little vibe though.
Yeah,
so that's how it started.
And you were really still only 17.
Yeah, I was actually over here, it's 18 and up to get in the club, so I was actually underage when I was going in.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, because I know here in the States it's 21, but I know it's a little bit lower over there. You technically weren't even allowed to be there, but you were.
Yeah, technically. Yeah, man.
Wild. Well, that had to be, I don't know, super cool, and so different probably, you know, than your friends. I want to know what your friends thought, the ones that brought you to Sankey's first, and you were like, no, I don't really like this. And then like a year later, you're playing. They're probably like, what the heck?
Oh yeah, they all used to come. It was great. We all used to travel up together and get a big like bus down. It was a good vibe. The bar that I used to play in was only like 50, 60 people. So like I used to take, you know, all my group of friends, and it would be a nice little crowd in there.
Nice. Is Sankey still there?
Unfortunately not, no. It's an apartment block now. It kind of reached like its peak, and then kind of declined. It like won number one club in the world at one point. And then after that, I think it kind of just went downhill after that, basically. Yeah. And then that area, to be fair, like that area where it is now, it used to be just Sankey's used to be a soap factory. It used to be called Sankey Soap, so it used to be like an old soap factory, and that whole area was industrial, but now it's all apartment blocks and restaurants and bars. So there's no way they could have operated, because it was just, the club was like too many people going there for like a residential area.
Oh, yeah.
So I think in the end, if it didn't decline, it would have shut down anyway.
Yeah. Because you still live around there, or you still live in Manchester. Are you still kind of close to that area? Yeah.
Yeah. There's not really many clubs in Manchester. We have Wales Project, but they're more of like a festival type vibe. It's like they operate like certain types of the year. So we've got another another club called Joshua Brooks, which is really cool, but it's only a small club, like 400 or 500 cap.
Oh, nice. At least you still have some other ones there. That's nice. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your family and your heritage. I know you come from a really big Greek family, and I was wondering if that kind of, you know, affected your music or your style of production at all.
Well, my parents were both, you know, music lovers, and there has been music in the family for some generations. There's a Greek instrument called the bouzouki, and my uncles on my mum's side all played instruments. But my mum and dad were very much music lovers. Growing up, my dad was always playing like 80s records for me and showing me how to compile like playlists, because he used to have parties. So I think like the way I approach preparation for a gig is similar to how he used to show me how he would prepare a playlist for one of his parties that he was throwing. So okay. The Greek music, I never actually was into Greek music itself. It's a little bit too slow for me. But I did come from a family of music lovers.
That's so cool that your dad made these intricate playlists for his parties, and that was kind of your first look into, you know, creating a set. So cute.
Yeah, they used to have these like parties, like maybe like once every couple of months at our house. They'd have like tons of their friends over. It wasn't too wild, but he used to have like this PC in the back, and he used to have this like thing called Winamp, and he'd basically be able to load a ton of records on there, and then it'd just play in order. So he'd start with like the really chilled stuff, and then it'd slowly pick up. So now, like when I look back, it's like how I would prepare a set. If I was opening, I would start really chilled and build it up, and
you should bring your dad behind the decks with you.
I actually have. I played the first one I ever took him to was in London. I played for the Martinez brothers at Printworks, and it was like, it's a huge, I don't know if you've ever seen this venue, but it's absolutely huge, and that was his introduction into the club. And he absolutely loved it. He was having loads of fun dancing. So
that's so wild. He just dove feet first into it.
Oh, yeah. Feet first, literally.
I love that. I think I did the same thing with my mom. The first show I took her to, we were in the press area. So it was the very front of a headlining Skrillex show at a big festival. And that was the first show I ever took my mom to.
That must have been wild.
She was like, this is crazy. Yeah, she loved it, though. It was great.
I took my mum as well. My mum loved it as well. They both loved it. Yeah, they love that music as well.
Oh, good.
I used to have a studio in my garage, so they've been hearing it for a long time.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But then you said you had to move it, right? Because there was always so many people and it was kind of loud, so now you have your own separate space.
Yeah, we moved house as well, and there wasn't enough room for like a full studio. But I've got a studio in Manchester now, which is in a like professional building, and it's really good. So I prefer it there. It's like going to work. Separates like, you know, home from.
Yeah, definitely. I think we can all probably still use a little bit more of that nowadays, too. Separation.
yeah, definitely.
So let's switch gears a little bit and kind of talk about production. I'm wondering maybe what your process of production and songwriting looks like these days.
So I use Ableton. And I don't use too much... I don't use too many synthesizers or anything. I like to sample things. So I basically always start with the drums. If I don't get my drums right from the start, then I basically scrap the whole track and start from the beginning. So I focus most of my energy on the drums. And then from there, I move on to the bass. And when I arrange a record, I like to, I don't arrange in the arrangement view, I arrange in the jam view. So I like to like launch clips and kind of jam the record out live. So it's quite easy to do that in Ableton with the way they've got everything set up. So I'm basically using Ableton. I'm using Ableton Push to do all the arrangements and that. And then I have one synth, which is an SH-101. And basically, I turn it on, I take a sample from it, and then I just keep resampling the same sample over and over again because it sounds good. So, but it's not too much of a crazy setup that I've got.
And I know that you've mentioned that, you know, drums have always kind of been the heartbeat of it too. Did you have past experience as a drummer, or that's just what kind of draws you in the most?
No, I actually remember when I was younger, I wanted to play the drums. So I did get a few lessons, but it never like turned into anything. Like, my attention span was always a little bit all over the place. So to sit me in a room and teach me how to drum, it was kind of just, it was hard work. So I never, I do wish that I had stuck it out there, but,
but well, it translates now in a different way,
because
drums, the beat, is the heart still of dance music. So you are a drummer still now, just kind of in a different way.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So, too, I'm wondering about, you know, songwriting, production, being a creative person when you're traveling so much, because you travel all the time. And I know you've talked before that organization and structure is really important to you, you know, in your working life. So I'm wondering maybe how you keep this sense of structure and inspiration with you when you're like changing scenery all the time.
So I, you know, I went through a phase where I could only really work on music in the studio. But I've recently broken out of that habit, and I'm finding it a lot easier to kind of like start ideas on the fly, on the go, like on the plane or, you know, in the hotel room, and then come back and finish them. I find that that kind of works. If you start an idea but don't try and like complete the track whilst you're away, when you come back, because sometimes when you get back and you're jet lagged and you're tired, it's hard to kind of get the ball rolling again, like especially when you go to the studio, you're trying to focus. But if you've got them ideas already kind of made, like if I made an idea in the hotel room that's sounding really cool and I come back, it can kind of kickstart me straight away because I can play that idea and start working on it straight away rather than like trying to start from scratch. And then with music, I try and like with gigs, I try and listen to music every single day, try and search for music every single day, because searching for music is, and I think a lot of DJs will agree, it's like it takes a few hours to get like start finding them records, them really good ones that you want to play. So if you take like a week off listening to music, sometimes it's like it takes you longer to start finding records. So I try and just keep myself busy all the time with it, like whether I'm producing a record or listening to records. Listening to records always gets me inspired to make music, so so I just try and keep that balance between the two. But organization and staying like as healthy as you can is probably the key to being consistent. I think like when I go to a gig and I have too much to drink, that can wipe me out for, you know, like 2 or 3 days. So I'm starting to like not do as much of that anymore now.
Yeah, you have to keep yourself healthy, especially as busy as you are. You know, you, if you have a wicked hangover, you lose half a day. That's so much energy and effort, you know.
It's three days for me these days. Hangover lasts 3 days.
No, I know. I really miss the days when that wasn't true, but it definitely is now. Well, good. It sounds like you're taking good care of yourself and you are, you know, staying busy in that balance. It seems like you have a good idea of that balance, you know, and not kind of overrunning yourself either, which sounds really good.
Yeah. Good. And I do give myself like rest days as well. I don't kind of try and burn myself out.
So let's talk about Celesta. What's going on with you guys at your label these days?
So I'm not actually running Celesta anymore. It kind of finished around lockdown period. I used to have a partner mm-hmm. that I used to do it with, and he kind of stopped doing music. And just the whole format of the label itself, even though we did some really cool things and had some really cool releases, it was very much based around other artists. I released more music from other artists than I released my own music. So, but Celesta was really fun, and I got a lot of good experience from running it, which I'm going to implement into this next label.
So your next label is going to be kind of more focused on self-releases, you think?
Collaborations. I'm also going to release music from, you know, friends, good friends, and I will be releasing other music, just not, it'll be more focused around me releasing my music, and then I will release other people's music as well. But the first couple of releases will be me.
So one question that I kind of like to end with before we move into our speed round is, what excites you about the future of dance music, just like the community and the art form as a whole? What are you excited for moving into the future?
I feel like when I first started, like, really going out and listening to music, there was a specific type of music that I used to love, and it disappeared. It was like the Ibiza music that was like what I would think was Ibiza music. And that's kind of coming back now. And another thing that excites me is all the people that are coming up at the moment. Some are good friends of mine. They're all exciting artists, and I think they're all going to bring a lot to the table. So I'm really excited to kind of see, you know, all them people at the top.
Bring all your friends with you if you can.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people, you know, coming up at the moment that have got exciting brands and exciting ideas, and the music is definitely getting way better on the dance floor. Everything's getting really housey again, really happy.
Yeah.
Everything went quite dark for a while, you know, quite heavy, and but now it's starting to become like more about the groove and housey, and I'm really excited to, you know, see that. So that definitely excites me.
Is that kind of what you're referring to as like the Ibiza sound, that like warm, Balearic kind of housey sound a little bit?
Yeah, like what, like if you remember like how Luciano and Loca Dice and Corolla and all these guys, they used to play like this specific sound, and it was like kind of just all about the groove, and it was just really housey, and that disappeared for a long time. Things got quite heavy, and it's starting to go back to housey. I'm even starting to see, like, you know, old house DJs playing more often now, and playing on, you know, more modern festivals, which is really, really sick, because that's going to educate people on great music. So I'm excited in the direction that the scene is going.
Yeah, I think way more people are getting into it, finding out about it, finding out that it's kind of always been here. I know that was kind of a big discourse when Beyonce's new album came out. You know, everyone was like, oh, she's bringing back house music. And a lot of us were like, well, wait, we've never gone anywhere. It's always been here. But now we're finding out about it and coming to it.
Exactly,
cool.
It's good. It's really good. It's really good for the scene.
Well, yay. I'm happy that you're optimistic. I feel optimistic about it, too. And I still haven't been to Ibiza yet personally, but I cannot wait to go and experience that energy, because it just seems unlike anything else in the world. So that would be, I don't know,
yeah,
really cool.
It's definitely the best place for house music in general. It's just got like a magnetic energy on the island. It's really sick. Definitely get yourself there.
I'm hoping. I live in Oregon, so it's very kind of wet and cold here right now. So I'm just dreaming of a summer island.
It's wet and cold here all the time in Manchester, so
we're both ready for it.
Yeah.
Okay, AJ, are you ready for your speed round?
Yes, I am. Let's do it.
It's very, very low stakes, I promise. Okay. Do you have a guilty pleasure TV show or a movie?
Guilty pleasure TV show would be Everybody Loves Raymond.
That's a good one. Would you rather be able to speak every language in the world or be able to talk to animals?
Talk to animals, definitely.
That'd be fun.
Definitely.
Who was your first celebrity crush?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I love it. Gyros or moussaka?
Euro.
What is your go-to pastime that's not music related?
I've never been a sporty person, so I don't play any sports. I do Muay Thai. I enjoy that. So I would say that, yeah.
What is that? Is that like martial arts kind
Yeah,
of?
yeah.
Very cool. Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
And what's one song that you wish you would have written?
Off the wall, Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
that's an
a
amazing record.
groove. Well, thank you, AJ, so much for joining us. We hope to see you again soon. And yeah, have
Yeah,
a
thank.
wonderful rest of your evening.
Yeah, you too. Thank you for having me.
Of course.